Okay, so you're thinking about alternatives to injection molding. I get it. There's a ton of info out there. We're going to help you break it down and figure out what might be a good fit for you.
Yeah, it's like having a whole toolbox. You don't want to use a screwdriver to hammer in a nail right. Each method has its own strengths, and you got to understand those strengths to make the right choice.
Exactly. Injection molding is great for what it does. High volume, simple parts. Think Legos, bottle caps. But what if you need something different? Something more complex, maybe in smaller batches. That's where things get really interesting. We've got 3D printing blow molding, thermoforming, and extrusion molding.
They all have something different to offer. It's not just about replacing injection molding, it's about finding the perfect fit.
Let's start with 3D printing. This one always feels a bit like magic to me. Instead of using a mold, you're literally building an object layer by layer from a digital design.
Yeah, it's amazing what you can do with 3D printing. Complex geometries, internal cavities, intricate lattices. You can't do that with traditional molding.
So it's all about pushing the boundaries of design, right? Where does that flexibility really shine?
One area is the medical field. Imagine customized prosthetics that perfectly match a patient's anatomy, or surgical guides that are tailored to a specific procedure.
That's incredible. Personalized medicine meets high-tech manufacturing.
Exactly. It goes beyond prosthetics, dental implants, custom orthotics, even bioprinting tissues and organs.
Wow. Revolutionizing healthcare. Now, I know there are different types of 3D printing. What are the main ones we should be aware of?
Two of the most popular are fused deposition modeling, or FDM, and stereolithography, or SLA.
Okay, those are some serious acronyms. Can you break those down for us?
Absolutely. FDM is kind of like a hot glue gun on steroids. It uses a spool of thermoplastic filament, heats it up, and extrudes it onto a build platform, layer by layer. It's relatively inexpensive and great for prototyping.
Like drawing in three dimensions with melted plastic. What about SLA?
SLA is more high tech. It uses a UV laser to cure a liquid photopolymer resin, layer by layer. Think of it as a very precise 3D printer for smooth surfaces.
So FDM is your workhorse, and SLA is your precision instrument. Now, what about the downsides of 3D printing? There have to be some, right?
Of course, design freedom and customization are great, but the cost per part can be higher compared to mass production methods, like injection molding. And the range of materials is still limited, although it is expanding rapidly.
So it's a matter of weighing the pros and cons. If you need highly customized parts or complex designs, in smaller quantities, 3D printing is hard to beat. But for mass production of simpler parts, injection molding might still be the more cost-effective option.
Right, tool for the job.
Exactly. Speaking of different tools, let's move on to blow molding. This one seems tailor-made for hollow objects.
You're spot on. Think of all the plastic bottles and containers. Shampoo bottles, milk jugs, those giant water cooler containers. Blow molding is behind all of those.
Okay, so I'm picturing a giant bubble of plastic being inflated inside a mold. Am I close?
You're pretty close. It starts with a heated tube of plastic called a perosin. That perosin is placed inside a mold, and then air is blown into it, inflating it until it takes the shape of the mold.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I can see how that would be incredibly efficient for creating those kinds of shapes. But what makes blow molding so well suited for hollow objects compared to, say, injection molding?
Well, for one, the equipment is simpler and less expensive than injection molding machines. And because you're essentially inflating the plastic, you can achieve a very uniform wall thickness, which means you're not wasting material.
So it's a winner in terms of both cost and material efficiency. Are there any downsides to blow molding we should be aware of?
One limitation is that it's not as well suited. For creating complex geometries or intricate details, it's best for relatively simple hollow shapes.
So while it might not win any awards for intricate designs, blow molding is the champion when it comes to efficiently producing bottles, containers, and similar hollow objects.
Precisely. It's found its niche.
All right. So we've got 3D printing for those intricate custom designs and blow molding for those high-volume hollow objects. Now let's talk about thermoforming. I'm picturing those clear plastic clamshells that hold everything from electronics to toys. Am I on the right track?
You're absolutely right. Thermoforming is all about transforming large sheets of plastic into those kinds of shapes and more. Think of blister packs for medications, those disposable food trays at the grocery store, even things like shower stalls and car
Yeah,
dashboards.
the range of applications is wider than I thought. Can you walk us through how thermoforming actually works?
It starts with a sheet of thermoplastic material. which is heated until it becomes soft and pliable. Then using a mold and vacuum pressure, the sheet is shaped into the desired form.
So it's like molding with giant sheets of plastic. What are the key advantages of thermoforming compared to other methods?
One of the biggest advantages is the low cost of molds compared to injection molding. This makes thermoforming a very attractive option for large-scale production or for projects with a limited budget.
That's a huge plus. But are there any limitations to thermoforming? Imagine shaping those large sheets of plastic could be tricky.
You're right, it does have its limitations. Thermoforming is excellent for larger, simpler shapes, but it's not as well suited for intricate designs or parts that require high precision.
So it's about finding that sweet spot
mm-hmm.
between cost-effectiveness and design complexity. What about the materials? Are we still talking about those thermoplastic polymers?
Yes, thermoplastics are the go-to materials for thermoforming, but the range is quite broad. You can use polyethylene, polypropylene, polyvinyl chloride, even polystyrene or polycarbonate.
That opens up a lot of possibilities. Mm. So thermoforming gives you that balance of cost-effectiveness, material choice, and suitability for those larger, simpler shapes. But how does it stack up against blow molding? Especially when it comes to things like containers, they both seem to excel in that area.
That's a great question. While there's some overlap, there are key differences. Blow molding is better for creating truly hollow objects with a narrow opening like bottles and jars. Thermoforming is often used for trays, clamshells, and other open or semi-open containers. It's also great for those larger single-piece components that might be too big or complex for blow molding.
So it's about understanding the nuances of each method and choosing the one that best fits the specific requirements of the product.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that covers 3D printing, blow molding, and thermoforming. We've got one more contender on our list, extrusion molding.
Now this one is fascinating because it produces continuous shapes rather than individual parts.
Continuous shapes. Give me an example.
Think of pipes, tubes, window frames, or even those plastic deck railings. Extrusion molding is behind all of those. Imagine squeezing toothpaste out of a tube. That's essentially how extrusion molding works.
Okay, I'm starting to picture it. You're pushing melted plastic through a die. That shapes it into a continuous profile. What makes extrusion molding so well suited for these kinds of applications?
It's incredibly efficient for high volume production of simple, uniform shapes. And because it's a continuous process, you can create extremely long lengths of material, which is perfect for things like pipes and tubes.
So it's all about speed and efficiency, especially when you need a lot of material. Are there any downsides to extrusion molding we should know about?
The main limitation is that it's not ideal. For creating complex geometries or intricate designs, it's best for those long, continuous shapes with a relatively simple profile.
So it's a trade-off. You gain speed and efficiency, but sacrifice design flexibility.
Exactly. It all comes down to what you're trying to achieve.
All right. So we've now covered all four contenders. In our deep dive into alternatives to injection molding, we've got 3D printing for those intricate designs, blow molding for hollow objects, thermoforming for those larger, simpler shapes, and extrusion molding for those high-volume, continuous profiles. It's clear that each method has its own unique strengths and weaknesses.
And choosing the right one depends entirely on your project. It's not a one-size-fits-all situation.
Absolutely. But before we wrap up this part of our deep dive, I'm curious to learn a bit more about the materials themselves. We've been talking about these thermoplastic polymers. What exactly are they, and why are they so prevalent in these molding methods?
That's a great question. Thermoplastic polymers are a type of plastic that becomes moldable when heated and then solidifies when cooled. This property makes them perfect for molding. You can heat them up, shape them, and then let them cool and harden. Think of it like melting chocolate. You can mold it into any shape you want. And then it hardens back up when it pools.
Ah, that's a perfect analogy. So these thermoplastic polymers are the key ingredient in all these molding methods. But I imagine there are different types of thermoplastics, each with its own unique properties, right?
You're absolutely right. There's a whole world of thermoplastics out there, each with its own strengths and weaknesses. We've got the workhorses like polyethylene and polypropylene, which are incredibly versatile and used in everything from packaging to pipes to toys. Then we have more specialized materials like polycarbonate, known for its strength and clarity, making it perfect for eyeglass lenses or safety helmets. And then there are the engineering-grade thermoplastics like nylon, known for its durability and resistance to wear and tear, making it ideal for gears bearings and other high-stress applications.
Okay, so we're talking about a whole spectrum of materials with different properties and applications. Choosing the right material is just as important as choosing the right molding method.
Absolutely. It's all part of the same puzzle. Understanding the materials, the methods, and how they interact to create the product.
This is fascinating. I feel like we've already covered so much ground. But I know there's still more to explore. We've got to see these molding methods in action, right?
You got it. In the next part of our deep dive, we'll delve into some real-world examples of how these alternative molding methods are being used to create innovative products across industries. Stay tuned.
Okay, so we've laid the groundwork, explored each method, but I'm ready to see these techniques in action. Real-world examples are what really bring these concepts to life.
I agree. Theory is great, but seeing how these methods are used to solve real problems and create innovative products is what makes it exciting.
Exactly. So let's start with 3D printing. We talked about its ability to create complex geometries and patient-specific designs. Where are we seeing that play out in the real world?
Well, one area is in the aerospace industry. They're using it to create lightweight, high-strength components for aircraft.
Interesting. I imagine that helps with fuel efficiency, right? Lighter planes mean less fuel consumption.
Precisely. It goes beyond just weight reduction. 3D printing allows them to create intricate internal structures that you couldn't manufacture with traditional methods. This opens up a whole new world of possibilities.
So they're not just replicating existing parts, they're actually innovating and creating entirely new designs.
Exactly. And here's another fascinating example, 3D printed rocket parts. Companies are using 3D printing to create complex engine components and even entire rocket nozzles.
Wow. That's pushing the boundaries of manufacturing. I remember reading about a company that 3D printed an entire rocket engine in one piece. No assembly required.
Yes, that's the power of additive manufacturing. It allows for a level of design freedom and complexity that was simply unimaginable a few decades ago.
It's amazing to see how quickly this technology is evolving. What about blow molding? Where are we seeing its strengths come into play beyond those everyday bottles and containers?
One interesting application is in the automotive industry. They're using blow molding to create complex fuel tanks, air ducts, and even some interior components.
I wouldn't have thought of that. What makes blow molding a good fit for those kinds of automotive parts?
Well, for one, it allows you to create hollow parts with complex shapes, which is often required for those types of components. And remember, blow molding is very efficient at achieving uniform wall thickness, which is important for strength and durability.
Makes sense. So it's not just about simple bottles anymore. Blow molding is finding its way into more complex applications.
Absolutely. And here's another example that might surprise you. Kayaks. Some manufacturers are using blow molding to create durable, lightweight kayaks that are surprisingly affordable.
Wow, kayaks. That's really pushing the boundaries of what I thought was possible with blow molding. It seems like each of these methods has found its niche, but also keeps expanding into new and unexpected areas.
I agree. It's exciting to see how these technologies are constantly evolving and finding new applications.
What about thermoforming? What are some interesting real-world examples of how it's being used beyond those food trays and blister packs?
Well, one area where thermoforming shines is in creating large custom-shaped components. For example, some companies are using thermoforming to create shower stalls, bathtubs, and even refrigerator liners.
Those are some pretty big components. I can see how thermoforming would be a good fit.
Exactly. It allows you to create those large, seamless shapes without the need for expensive molds, complex assembly processes.
So because the molds are relatively inexpensive, it's a more cost-effective option for those larger components.
Right. And here's another interesting application, car dashboards. Some automakers are using thermoforming to create the complex contours and shapes of modern car dashboards.
Car dashboards, that's impressive. I wouldn't have thought thermoforming could handle that level of detail.
Well, the technology has advanced significantly in recent years. They're now using sophisticated molds and heating techniques that allow them to achieve a high level of detail and precision with thermoforming.
So it's not just about those simple trays and clamshells anymore. Thermoforming is proving to be a versatile method, capable of creating some pretty complex components.
Exactly. It's all about understanding the capabilities of each method and choosing the one that best suits your needs.
All right, let's wrap up our real-world exploration with extrusion molding. We talked about its efficiency in creating long, continuous shapes. What are some standout examples of how that's being put to use?
Well, one of the most obvious examples is pipes. Extrusion molding is the go-to method for creating those long, durable pipes that carry water, gas, and other fluids. In our homes and cities,
it's easy to overlook those everyday essentials, but they're all around us. And I imagine extrusion molding plays a big role in keeping those pipes affordable, right?
Absolutely. The efficiency of extrusion molding helps keep costs down. which is essential for infrastructure projects, like water and sewage systems.
It's amazing to think that such a simple process can have such a significant impact. What other interesting applications are there for extrusion molding?
Well, it's not just pipes. Extrusion molding is also used to create window frames, fencing, deck railings, and even those plastic strips you see on some car bumpers.
So it's all about those long, linear shapes that provide structure and support.
Exactly. And here's another application that might surprise you. Plastic film in sheeting. Think of those rolls of plastic wrap you use in the kitchen, or the plastic sheeting used in construction. Those are often created using extrusion molding.
Wow. I wouldn't have thought of that. So extrusion molding is used for both those large-scale structural components and those thin, flexible films. It's incredibly versatile.
It really is. And as technology continues to advance, we can expect to see even more innovative applications for extrusion molding.
Okay, I think we've covered a lot of ground here. We've gone from understanding the basics of each method to seeing them in action, creating everything from rocket parts to kayaks to car dashboards. It's clear that these alternative methods are not so alternative after all. They're essential players in the manufacturing world.
I completely agree. And it's important to remember that these methods are not mutually exclusive. Sometimes the best solution involves combining different methods.
That's a great point. It's not about choosing one over the other. It's about understanding the strengths of each and using them strategically.
Exactly. It's like having a toolkit full of specialized tools. You choose the right tool for the job.
This has been a truly fascinating exploration. I feel like I've gained a whole new appreciation for the world of manufacturing and the ingenuity behind these different molding methods.
I'm glad to hear that. It's a fascinating field, and there's always more to learn and explore.
But before we get carried away, we have one more crucial aspect to discuss. Material selection. We've touched upon it briefly, but now let's dive deep into the world of materials and how they influence the final product.
Great idea. Choosing the right material is just as important as choosing the right molding method. It's all about understanding the properties of each material and how they align with the specific requirements of your product.
That makes sense. So let's delve into this material maze in the final part of our deep dive. Okay, so we've explored those alternative molding methods, and we've even seen them in action, you know, from aerospace to recreation. But now we need to talk about the materials themselves.
Yeah, the material you choose, it really can make or break your product. It impacts durability, flexibility, even aesthetics.
Exactly. Imagine you trying to make a flexible phone case out of the same material as like a sturdy outdoor chair. It just wouldn't work.
Yeah.
So how do we navigate this whole material world? Where do we even begin?
Well, remember those thermoplastic polymers we talked about? They're the key players here when it comes to molding. But even within that category, there's so many options to choose from.
Okay, so it's like choosing the right actor for a role in a movie.
Yeah. You wouldn't cast a comedic actor in a dramatic thriller.
Exactly. Each material has its own strengths and weaknesses.
Right. Take polyethylene, for example. It's so versatile, used in everything from milk jugs to plastic bags. It's lightweight, flexible, and resistant to moisture.
So it's like the reliable all-rounder, always up for a challenge. What about those situations where you need something a bit more robust?
Then you might consider polypropylene. It has excellent chemical resistance and can withstand higher temperatures than polyethylene. Think about those microwavable containers. Or reusable water bottles.
Okay, so polypropylene is like the tough one, the heat-resistant member of the family. What other characters are there?
Well, if you need strength and clarity, polycarbonate might be your go-to. It's incredibly impact-resistant. That's why it's used in safety helmets and eyeglass lenses.
Interesting. So polycarbonate is like the superhero material, protecting us from harm. But what about when you need flexibility, like a phone case or a rubber gasket?
For those, you might turn to thermoplastic elastomers, or TPEs. They have the flexibility of rubber, but with the processing advantages of thermoplastics, think of those soft grip handles on tools or the flexible parts in your car's interior.
So TPEs are like the contortionists of the material world, bending and flexing to fit any need. What about those really high performance applications where you need the best durability and strength?
That's where you'd look at engineering grade thermoplastics, like nylon. Nylon is known for its abrasion resistance. It's tough. And it can withstand high temperatures, so it's often used in gears bearings, and other components that experience a lot of wear and tear.
So nylon is like the workhorse of the engineering world, built to last. It's amazing how each material has its own distinct purpose.
And we're just scratching the surface here. There's a whole universe of specialty materials out there.
This is fascinating. It's like we've unlocked a secret code. to understanding the materials that shape our world.
Yeah, and the choice of material. It's not just about its technical properties. It can impact the aesthetic of your product, its sustainability, even its cost effectiveness.
Right, it's a multidimensional decision, just like choosing the right molding method.
Absolutely. It's about finding that harmony between form, function, material, and process.
I think we've made it through the material maze. We've explored the world of thermoplastic polymers and learned how unique properties affect the final product.
And remember, this is an ever-evolving landscape. New materials are constantly being developed.
That's what makes this field so exciting. There's always something new to learn. But I think for now, we've given our listeners a solid foundation.
Yeah, we've demystified the jargon, highlighted the key considerations, and provided a roadmap to navigate the world of alternative molding methods and materials.
So as we wrap up our deep dive, what innovative products will you create, knowing the possibilities out there?
The future of manufacturing is in your hands.
Until next time, keep those creative gears turning.